Well, I want to say good morning to everybody. How's everybody this morning? This is a new day. Hallelujah. You know, when you get up in the morning and you say, God, what a great day today. It's a great day today. Why? Because you're still breathing. You have your strength in your body. You're healthy. You're walking around. It's great. You know, you have all the reason to worship and thank God this morning. Hallelujah. That's amen. Amen, my sister. Bless you. Well, we want to say thank you and welcome Papa Joe back from his short mission trip up to Mapoon. Hey! He was really in the spirit praying, and I walked past him and gave him a big poke in the tummy, and he got a shock. I think he thought the Holy Spirit just touched him. Hallelujah. And Joe will be briefing us later on. He'll be speaking a little bit on this afternoon about his trip, and also, he'd probably be coming in, and he's got a powerful testimony. As he was sharing with me as we were praying this morning, I thought, my goodness, your testimony is along the word of God that I want to release this morning. Hallelujah. How good is that, the Holy Spirit? He's good. I said, Holy Spirit, I have nothing to give these people. You need to give me something. And he did. Hallelujah. Do not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Just believe in Him. Pray and wait upon the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you and guide you. Do not lean unto your own understanding. That's the word. I also want to welcome Pastor Sammy and his wife, his lovely wife. Pastor Sammy, please stand up. And your lovely wife, please. This is Pastor Sammy. He's trying to hide at the back, but I thought we must acknowledge the man of God who's been doing amazing work up in Weipa, and we've been connecting with Pastor Sammy with most of our crusades up there and outreaches up there, and Joe's just been up there working with Pastor Sammy and Pastor Tom, and so they will be bringing a report on how everything is going down there. There's some amazing, interesting things that God is doing. Hallelujah. God is he's a God of setups, so He has to set up and put set man in position before He can do anything. Before God can move, God must have His set man in place before He can do anything. Amen? Hallelujah. You believe that? You believe that you're a set man in God and a set woman in God? You believe that you're sitting in this room today because you are a set person, that God has a plan and a purpose for you? Now, you got to believe that, church. You're all sitting there going, yeah, amen. Hey. Amen, Pastor. No, you got to really say yes. I believe that with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, my message today is very short, but it's very key because I don't want to be bringing long messages and bore you. I want to bring key principles of the Word of God to you so that you can, that is really what it is. We're going to share the key principles of the Word of God. So when you grab the Word of God, and you operate and obey and walk in the principles of the Word of God, things start to happen in your life. Amen. It's guaranteed. You can take the Word of God to the bank. Yeah. Guaranteed. It's a cash check. Hallelujah. There's no doubt about the Word of God. The Word of God is power. Amen. The Word of God is life. Is it we got Sunday school this morning? No. Hallelujah. I also want to thank, before I say anything, I want to thank everybody that came and helped last yesterday in the morning till late in the afternoon. We apologize. There was no French service yesterday because it was announced. And so if you didn't know, we apologize on behalf of the committee. But also, thank you for everybody that came and helped. We had 4 dump runs of rubbish that was taken to the dump. And please do not bring anything that is secondhand to this place. God is not your secondhand God. Buy a new television and bring it for God. Buy a new, whatever it is, brand new. Treat God like you treat yourself. If you're going to bless yourself in Christmas and birthday, then bless God with the best. Hallelujah. If I see a secondhand stuff inside that room, it's going to the dump. We're not going to use it. Honestly, I'm saying it with such grace and love to you. Because the amount of rubbish that we took out of that room is like, what is this doing here? What is the purpose of this or that? Anyway, that's part of the message this morning too. Hallelujah. So, principles. I spoke to you about principles last week. Facts of life do not work, church. We don't operate on facts because facts changes. Facts is like seasons. It just comes and goes. But the principles of the Word of God never change. And so it's very important for us to understand. Are you following the Israel Folau saga at the moment? What's happening? Do you realize, you know, when I was looking at that, I'm thinking, God, that's persecution. That's the persecution that you talked about in the end times that's going to come. They're not going to boil you in hot oil or turn you upside down and nail you on the cross. They're going to persecute you like what they're persecuting these young men right now. That's persecution, church. And you know, this young man is fighting on behalf of every Christian that's sitting inside this room today. Every person. Just because he's a famous guy, they're picking on him. And God says, good, I need a famous person. God, you know how good God is? God wouldn't use somebody. You know, the message that Israel Folau put on his Twitter or whatever that is, if you put it on the Facebook, nobody will come up against you because nobody knows you. But God is good. God is a good God. God always uses the people that will stir up some problems, stir up some trouble, hallelujah, and get Christians starting to think again. He used a man who's very famous. He used Israel Folau's gift. The man draws attention. You know, as they were talking about him and everybody saying, you know, why are we talking about this fellow? Oh, you know, I heard this guy speak about that same scripture in that place. Yeah, who is that guy? We don't know that guy, but we know who Israel Folau is. Are you seeing what God is doing? God is using a famous person to bring everything out into the clear. All the rubbish is coming out now. You and I are seeing it. But you know, he's fighting for our behalf. He's speaking on our behalf. And my message this morning is about that. Can you see the economy of God that's backing this man right now? You know, the GoFundMe thing and banks and all these people, they don't like you. I preached last week, nobody likes you. If you're a Christian, nobody likes you. Don't go around thinking and expecting people to like you. Nobody likes you. Full stop. Once you understand that, your life is going to be really good. Amen. If you understand that you're dead in Christ, your life is going to be really good. Nothing can touch a dead man. You're a dead man, a dead person walking. You're gone. The old you is gone, dead and buried inside of. There's a new person rising inside of you. And so if you're walking like that, nothing like that will touch you. Hallelujah. And so, this is very important for us. As a church and as Christians, banks don't like you. GoFundMe people don't like you. Nobody likes you. Qantas don't even like you. Why? Because your principles doesn't go with what they think. Are you hearing me, church, this morning? I'm bringing some principles that you should know. Stop living in ignorance and saying, everything's going to be fine. It's not. Ignorance will kill you. Ignorance will destroy you. My people are perishing because of what? Lack of knowledge. Not the devil. The devil sows everything and then he stands there and laughs at us. While we fight against each other and talk against each other and getting all this rubbish into the church and talking about other people and then fighting against these things. And the devil says, I got them. Hallelujah. That's why we need the principles of the Word of God. And my message this morning is about ownership to excess. And I want you to be delivered tonight and this morning, and it's going to be sharp and short and straight to the point. And it comes with the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, we like saying the kingdom of God is about what? Giving and receiving. That the people that were funding this campaign really, really, really encouraged me. I thought, thank you, God. That's how your kingdom operates. This is the kingdom of God in full operation right now. They shut the man's GoFundMe account down and everything, and then the people say, we're going to fund this. Boom. We're going to fund this. Every Christian in this country, the quiet Australians are starting to speak. And so the kingdom of God is not about selling and buying. It's about what? Giving and receiving. This is exactly what's happening right now. And so you and I must now take our mentality out of the buying and selling mindset into the giving and receiving mindset, because we are going to need it, church. We are going to need it. Nobody likes Christians anymore in this country. Let me just reassure you of that. So don't walk around with ignorance in your heart. Hallelujah. The world is full of people with the spirit of ownership. People like to own things. And the unfortunate thing is it's actually creeping into the church. Mine, mine, mine. Oh, this is mine. This is mine. It belongs to me. Everything mine, 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 mine. We start to sound like the cigar. Mine, 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 mine. It's really true. Have you watched Nemo? I got kids. I watch everything. Nemo. I cried in Toy Story 5. I just wept. I'm like, everyone said, Mom, Dad cried in Toy Story 5. Shh. Stop telling everybody about my, yeah. I love those little kids' movies. Mine. Our lives have become like that, church. What do I mean by that? Another word for the spirit of ownership is what? Individualism. Everybody wants to be themselves. Independent. That God hates that. That's really what God hates. God doesn't like that. When you become independent, you've become independent from God as well. Hallelujah. Individualism, this is mine. That belongs to me. This car is mine. This property is mine. That is mine. That is mine. And you hold things. Hallelujah. This spirit creates frustration, limitations, depression, contempt, creates lack. Do you realize that trying to own something creates lack in your life? Hello, somebody. Trying to own something creates lack inside your life because you will never be full. You will always want more and more and more. It causes people to steal. It creates poverty because people feel like they can get what they deserve, so they go and steal. And then you go and hire security guys to work for you because somebody has this mindset of, I can't get it, so I need to go and break and enter and get it. The spirit of ownership. That ownership spirit. We want everything that belongs to us. Us. Mine. Hallelujah. It creates sickness and disease and death because people are depressed over what they cannot have. When you cannot have something, you are depressed. Hallelujah. From excess. We fight and kill ourselves working two jobs. And listen, I'm not talking against anybody here. I'm talking about the overall principles of life. You get two jobs because you need to pay bills, and there's not enough. After two jobs, you're still broke. And after working your heart out and not seeing your family and not fellowshipping and not coming to church and all that, and you're still broke. And you still need more. And we still want to own things. Hallelujah. That's what the spirit of ownership does, and the devil loves it. When we do that, there is no alternative except the principles and the kingdom of heaven. Living the principles and the life of what the word of God says that we should do. Once we do that, then you realize the economy of heaven and the kingdom of God is more powerful than the banks, than all the GoFundMe, and all the other stuff that you think the world is going to help you. The world is not going to help you, my friends. The kingdom of God is here for you. The principles of the word of God is here for us. We must take ownership of it and move with it. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came to earth to remove the spirit of ownership. But our culture is built on ownership. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. And that's mine. Hallelujah. That's really where our culture comes from. We already got a mindset of owning things. And that's where our problem is. Hallelujah. So we have a fight in our mindset right now because in God it says He owns everything. Did you hear what I just said? That is why it is very difficult to live in the kingdom of God with a worldly mindset. You cannot come and live inside the kingdom of God, operate in the economy of the kingdom of God, and still carry the mindset of the world. Why am I bringing messages like that? Because of what's happening today. Father God, what am I going to talk to these people about? Talk to them about this. You're all sitting here, saved, transformed. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Ready to go to heaven, but you are still living on planet Earth in the economy of this Earth. So we need to tap into the kingdom economy. Move into the kingdom part of the economy. You are like a person that's living in two worlds at the same time. Hallelujah. You can tap into the kingdom of God and you can still inside the kingdom of the world. Physically, you are inside the kingdom of the world, but spiritually, you are inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You can operate like that. That is why it is very difficult when you live with the worldly mindset inside the kingdom. And it's hard for a rich. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, Jesus said that. He says, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Notice it didn't say impossible. He said it is hard. hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Because the mentality is completely reversed in the world. Mine, spirit. The spirit of ownership. Because rich means own. The word rich, to many people, is I own that. That belongs to me. I own that. That's mine. That's what rich means. But kingdom means what? He owns it. The kingdom of God is He owns it. Once you start thinking like a steward of a possession or provision that you're holding on to, your life is going to be really good, my friends. Once you start realizing that nothing that you own and wear and have doesn't belong to you, it belongs to someone. It belongs to who? It belongs to God. You call Him Lord, Lord, Lord of your life. And Lord, what does Lord mean? Lord means owner. God, Jesus, thank you, Lord. You're Lord of Lords. And God. Do you understand what you're calling Him? He's the owner of everything that you have. That's what lordship is. When you're Lord over something, when you rent a house, you have a landlord that owns the place. You're just renting from the landlord. That's the principle. Everything that you and I have here today and living and doing right now on this planet, what? Belongs to God. He is the King. He is the kingdom, Lord, over everything that you and I have. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. It's a powerful, powerful statement that God made. It says, whoever loves money never has enough. Come on. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. This is a true statement. This is the Spirit speaking to us right now, church. And then it says, this too is what? Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. How true is that in our life today? We consume, and the goods start to increase, and yet we're still lacking. Hallelujah. God's giving us some economic lessons here today, church. The Bible is saying the more money you make, the more things you are going to spend on it, so you will never have any spare money. Hallelujah. Haven't you noticed that, or is it just me? Does it just happen to me? Am I the only one that's only had like $8 in the bank for the last 3 years? That's the truth. I live in this country, and I always look at my account and go, oh, this $8 really loves me. It doesn't go away. All it needs is a couple of zeros in there, and I'll be fine. Hallelujah. Is it just me, or is it everybody has gone through that? All goods increase. And what benefit are they to the owners? Except to feast their eyes on them. You get something and you're feasting your eyes on it all the time. What benefit does it do to you? What benefit does it have for you? Hallelujah. Verse 12. The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where high blood pressure comes from. That's where depression comes from. That's where sickness and diseases comes from. Because you're worrying too much about something that you don't own. Hallelujah. God knows everything about everything. That's why He's saying that. That's really good stuff. This is really good health messages for everybody and economic lessons for all of us today. Hallelujah. Verse 13, I have seen a grievous evil under the sun. Wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners. This is really what's happening right now. How many wealthy people you know are now broke? Only people that you know personally are broke. Wealthy people. I know a few people that are broke right now. Because they keep holding stuff. Holding things that doesn't belong to them. That's what the world thinks, you know. The world says, this is mine. It doesn't belong to them. You and I understand that nothing that we own belongs to us. It's there for you to be a good steward of it. Use it. Bless people with it. Be a blessing to your community. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to your church. This is a good tithes and offering message right here. This is a good giving message right here, church. Everything put into one. economic lesson, health lesson, and giving lesson. Hallelujah. All in this one scripture right here. Hallelujah. I've seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth ordered to the harm of its owners. Can I say you can never hold anything that you don't own? Can I say that you cannot hold things that you do not own? If I give you a car, and you said, oh, it's mine now, and you don't want to give it back to me, that's holding something that doesn't belong to you. That's really what God is saying to us. I've given you something to be a blessing to you. Why are you holding on to it like you're going to take it to heaven? Naked you come, naked you will go. Empty like you came and empty like you were going. Same. You're not 10 up there with your Hilux and your new patrol and whatever that is that you're holding right now. Oh, is that a good message, church? Amen. It is good because it'll set you free. Set you free from a person that can give. Set you free to understand that you serve a king and a Lord and everything he owns so that you don't own and revolve, your life doesn't revolve around things that you hold on to. You don't hold on to things tightly. Hold on to it loosely because God may need in need of it. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel left Egypt, God says, take everything and hold on to it because I may be in need of it later on. Hallelujah. God says, it doesn't belong to you. Just look after it for me because I will need it when the time comes. That's the mentality that you and I, as kingdom-minded people, should have. If we do, this is going to be a blessed church. This place is going to be blessed. People will walk in here because they know that they're going to be blessed. Amen. You live your life like that, understanding that there is an owner of everything that you are looking after right now. Your life will be set free forever. You will never have any high blood pressure. You will never worry about hiring a security guard to guard your property. You will never hire him to come and work and he works 24 hours and doesn't go and see his family. And you're messing his life too. Because you're holding over this thing and you want the security guard to look after it for you. And his life is all totally ruined now because he's working nights, two nights, three nights, working there. Can you see the chain reaction of everything that's happening? Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the principles of the world. But the principles of the kingdom of God doesn't work like that, church. Hallelujah. And Jesus said it in here. That is why when you get the revelation that you are just a steward of the blessings and the provisions that you are looking after, you will be a person that will always give freely with a joyful heart. You will dance and break dance up to here and give your money to God. You will moonwalk, whatever you want to, ballet, you're full of joy. Walking in here, Alan's smiling at me because I nearly did the ballet. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is straight words, straightforward. This is not beating around the bush kind of message. This is straight. Why? Because I want us to think like kingdom people, understanding that we do not own these things. Hallelujah. Verse 15, everyone comes, this is the one here. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they will depart. They take nothing from the toil that they can carry in their hands. When you turn up to God, you have nothing. The same nakedness you came, the same nakedness you will go. Passing through. Everything belongs to God. It stays here. Somebody else is using it. You're gone. You build a new house. You die, you go. Somebody else takes it. Buy a new car. You die, you go. Somebody else drives it. Oh, he used to belong to the guy. He's gone now, so I'm looking after it. Can you see what God is talking to us this morning, church? Hallelujah. Many people are living like that, and unfortunately, Christians are living like that. I want to break your mindset this morning, church. I want the Holy Spirit to destroy the mindset of the world this morning upon you. Everything that you think about from this day forth now, your mindset will be totally different. If this saga of Israel fallout doesn't affect you, then you are living in a dream world right now. You are living in a fantasy world right now. If you think that this situation with this young man is not going to be against you. He is fighting for the likes of you and I sitting in this room today. One person. And every person that proclaims to be a believer and a God-fearing person is funding this kingdom. And the world doesn't understand it. The world's saying, oh, why don't you guys give your money to these people and these people? Jesus said that poor will always be poor. Give your money to fight for your freedom of speech. That's really what he's doing. What will happen if they walk in here and say, you can't preach like that anymore? You can't do these kind of things anymore. You can't lift your hands and praise God anymore. Do you understand you're living in a very lucky country right now and that freedom is about to be taken away from you? And this one person is speaking on behalf of everybody. And God is using him. One person. God is using his gift, his popularity in rugby to speak. Hallelujah. And so you and I must now transfer from the worldly mindset of living into the kingdom mindset of living. That our blessing and our economy doesn't come from the banks or your job or your boss. Your boss is going to sack you tomorrow. Why? Because you believe in Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning, church? This is real stuff we're talking about this morning. This is not some high-powered revelation, blah, 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 blah. This is real life stuff. This is the principles that when you take the principles of the Word of God and walk on it, you will be blessed every time. God is guaranteed to bless you. Hallelujah. Joe's got a powerful testimony, but he'll share it tonight. He was sharing with me, I thought, my goodness, God's talking here. We must wake up. God is saying the world system is not working and doesn't work for us kingdom-minded people. The world system doesn't work for you, church. That system doesn't work for you. God has already given his own economy. So, ladies and gentlemen, the principles of the kingdom is what? Lordship. When you understand lordship, when you understand that somebody else owns all that you are using right now, then your life will be set free. That's the principle. That's the key. There is a Lord that you serve called Jesus Christ. There is a creator called Father God, Abba, that you stand on that platform that Jesus already set for you to be able to say, Abba, Father. He is the one that's looking after you right now. He is the one that's taking care of all your needs. Hallelujah. But in the kingdom, it's the opposite. God owns everything. In the world, everybody owns everything. But in the kingdom, God owns everything. Hallelujah. I like it. In the kingdom, Adam was given, listen to this, rulership, not ownership. Adam wasn't given ownership of the world. He was given rulership of the dominion of the earth. He was there to look after it, to toil it, to work on it, to plant, to rebuild, and do everything. But he was not there to own it. It doesn't belong to him. And now all of a sudden, everybody wants to own something. That block of land over there, that block of land. We're fighting and killing each other over land. The biggest crisis ever in PNG came from our island, Bougainville. We shut down that mine in Bougainville. Shut it down. Because they dug up everything else and we never saw anything. And so, if you ever needed a mine closed, call me. You know, I said that jokingly. Let me tell you this. I got into trouble when I said that in front of a one of the guys that I didn't know who was an investor into the mine. And we were sitting down there in Kalgoorlie having dinner and we were talking. He says, oh, so it's your people that closed the mine. I said, yep. He said, whenever you need a mine closed, call us. We're the mine closing experts, the BRA. May I tell you, later on, the East friend said, Ben, that's the guy that actually invested into the mine. I said it. Hallelujah. We are fighting over land, fighting over all these things. Hallelujah. Adam was never given ownership of it. He was given rulership of it. You and I are supposed to have the Adam mindset. Rule it. Don't own it. Have dominion over it, but don't own it. Because you're just passing through, my friends. Hallelujah. The ownership brings fear. Someone's going to steal my stuff. When you start to own stuff, you start to fear that somebody's going to come and steal your stuff. And like I said, you start to go, in PNG, we've got securities everywhere. Everywhere there's a security. In front of your gate, in front of a store, everywhere. Security companies are multi-billion dollar companies right now in PNG. If you want to start up a security company in PNG, you'll be a rich man. Everybody wants a security. And the dogs, there's so many guard dogs right now. So we own things, and then we become fearful that somebody might come and steal it, and then we hire security guys to come and look after things for us. Hallelujah. That's why God hates covetousness. He put it down in his commandment, in commandment 10, number 10. Do not, what? Covet after people's property. Then you have suspicion that you want things, and then there's competition that, oh, because he has that, I have to have this. Listen to me. Let's start going into the principles of needs instead of wanting stuff. You need clothes. You need a shelter over your head. You need a transportation to move around. You need food on your table. You don't need 5 flat-screen TV. That's not a need. That's a want. Let's get our mindset as kingdom people off things of need and get into things of want. Sorry, things of want instead of things of wanting. Hallelujah. God said to David, Psalms 37, verse 1 to 2, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. Verse 2, for like the grass, they will soon wither away. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Don't be envious of people that are going ahead of you. Don't be envious of people that are making money and you sitting there going, I wish I was like that. Don't be envious of them. They'll wither away. The Bible says they'll meet the day. There are people that I've seen that have gone ahead of me and done things the wrong way, and now they're broke. Broke as broke. With a capital B, broke. And a capital R too, broke. Hallelujah. Can you hear what I'm saying? If you have access to everything, then you will covet over nothing. If you have access, listen, if you have access, the Bible says you have access. Why? Because you are a son and a daughter of God. Everything belongs to you. If you have access over everything, then why would you covet over things? You can't covet over things that you have access over. Hallelujah. Have that mindset. I own everything. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. I am the steward over all these things. I don't own it, sorry. I just good steward over it. When you have access to everything, you will never covet. Hallelujah. You own nothing, but you access to everything. All of us don't own anything. If you're a kingdom-minded person today, you don't own anything, but you have access to everything. God has everything ready for you. Abundance of access, everything. You have access to it whenever you need it. You don't own it. Let's change our mindset today, church. Adam was given access to everything that he needed. He was given access, everything. If he needs anything, it's already given to him. He doesn't have to own it. He said, just rule over it, God says. Have dominion over it. And watch over it. Hallelujah. Remember Abraham, Isaac? Remember the question that he asked his dad? It's a very valid question here today, this morning for some of you. Hallelujah. Sometimes your children and my children will ask us, Dad, how are we going to get this? How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to, you know, they want things. Your children look to you as Superman or Supermom. They know that you can click your hands and things will just happen. They don't have to know how it's going to happen. They know that you're there to provide for them. That's why Isaac asked his father, he says, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Hallelujah. And the answer, my friends, today is the answer for you today. That should be your answer today and from now on. Hallelujah. Abraham's answer was a good answer. Make that your answer this morning, church. He said, the Lord will provide. Everybody say, the Lord will provide. Hallelujah. God will provide for everything that you need. All you need to do is step up and walk up that hill. Hallelujah. Take your donkey with you and the firewood. He will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. Hallelujah. That's his principles. And we have been so corrupt by the standard of the world that we now think the worldly thoughts every time. And then our faith runs out. We don't have faith anymore to believe for things anymore, because the system of the world has totally damaged our way and our mindset of thinking. Hallelujah. In other words, Abraham abandoned the system and shifted to the kingdom system, to the Lord, he says. The Lord will provide. He says, I don't know, Isaac, I don't know. But I know one thing, that the God is going to provide for us. So as they were walking up, God had already prepared a lamb for them to go and take on and sacrifice. Hallelujah. If you have faith this morning, church, take this with you. The Lord will provide. The Lord's going to provide for you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. If you take the word of God and his principles and say, God, I don't know how it's going to happen. That's not for you to know. You don't need to know how God's going to do it. That's not for you to know. All you know is that God is going to provide for you. God's going to bring your healing. God's going to bring all your provisions. God's going to bring everything that you desire today. Why? Because you don't have to know about it. That's not your job to worry about it. That's his job. How he's going to provide it for you, how he's going to bring it to you, that's his job. You just say, God, I stand on that word. The Lord will provide. That's my motto for the year. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all that shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. When Jesus was talking about how God feels about humans, he used the story, and I'm going to close with this scripture. That's the basic, that's the foundation of the word this morning. All the points that you've heard was just to encourage you. I'm just going to bring the word and I'll close. Jesus was talking about the human, God, how God feels about humans. And he uses a story about the prodigal son. And you and I have read that so many times. We even make plays out of it. Hallelujah. We preach a lot about the guy who left home. And we miss the story of the guy who stayed home. Everybody talks about the prodigal guy, the guy that walks out. Nobody talks about the person that stayed back. Nobody even think about him. They always focus on the guy that left home. Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 12, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. Notice he didn't say seven, he says two sons. Two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share. That's the spirit of ownership right there. Give me my share of estate. So he divided his property between them. This man had everything. He was inside, living inside his father's house, source of everything. Yet the spirit of ownership caught him. Give me my share. I want what is mine, 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 mine. And then he takes it with him. He was where in his father's house. He was living in the source. He decided he didn't need the source. He wanted his what? Share. Spirit of ownership. Give me my share. Mine, 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 mine. Everything is mine. Hallelujah. Mine is a very dangerous word, church. Or what belongs to me is a, me is a very dangerous word when you think about it. Because now it's become about you. And about nobody else. And when you come to church, remember, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about who you come to worship. It's not about the person sitting next to you, how he looks, how he dresses, what he's driving. No, 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 no. It's about God. That's why, you know, I was driving to church this morning. God says, it is very nice to go to church. And I thought, yeah. I had this joyous feeling inside my spirit. I'm going to go and fellowship with my brothers and sisters. We're going to sing and worship God together. I love seeing your faces when I come here. I miss you when I don't see you. That's really what it is. That's what fellowship is all about. People that skip, don't want to come to church, you know what? They're missing out on a lot of things. They're missing out on seeing you. Why don't you go to church? Well, you missed out on seeing this guy or that guy or that person. Seeing your face is the greatest joy that I can ever have, because I have a family with me that stands with me and walks with me in this place we call the kingdom of God, that we can walk and look after each other. As Mama Alice said last week, she is your grandmother now. So all of you start treating her like a grandmother inside the church. The elderly inside the church must be looked after. That's our priority. It's not, oh, no, we no, 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 no. They've seen the world before you. They wore nappies before you. So respect them. So the father divided his property between them, verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Sounds like some of us. Maybe I should say, sounds like me before I came to Christ. It makes you feel better now, eh? Everybody's too holy here. I don't want to say anything. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine and in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country. GoFundMe. The banks. Your employer. They don't like you. But they'll use you. As long as you work and they treat you like a pig in the muck. That's all they need from you. That's really what it is, church. Who sent him to his field to what? His first job, what? Feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. Even the pigs didn't share their meal with him. Pigs. Hallelujah. So he began to have a mentality of a pig. Hallelujah. Verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So that he got up and went to his father. Let me just pull up here for a second and bring this principle here. He said to himself, hear that, church? One day he came to his own senses. Nobody told him. He wasn't talking to nobody. He was with the pigs. Pigs weren't sharing the food with him. They weren't telling him anything. And then one day he said, what am I doing here? As some of you this morning, if you've been staying away from God, if you've been hearing the knock of God on the door of your heart, and you've been refusing to come into the kingdom, that's God speaking to you. This is what, one day he came to his senses. A pastor didn't go looking for him. The Bible says his father didn't go looking for him. Even God didn't go looking for him. He just sat down there one time and said, how stupid I am. I've got my servants in my father's house who are eating like kings, and here am I eating with the pigs. He came to his senses. Hallelujah. The Bible says he said to himself, turn to your neighbor and say to yourself. Tell your neighbor, say to yourself this morning. Talk to your soul this morning. Sometimes you've got to stop and say, soul, you're going to listen to me this morning. This is what you're going to be doing this morning. I am going to do this and you listen to me, soul. You talk to your spirit like that. You talk to your soul like that. Amen. Talk to yourself. When you're about to do something wrong, you go, no, soul. People might look at you and go, man, this guy is supposed to be in a psychiatric ward. Talk to your soul. He said, no, I am not going to go there. I am not going to go do this. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back to my father who owns everything. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he said to himself, my father has servants who are eating like kings, and here I am starving to death. Hallelujah. When he came back, he didn't ask to be reinstated as a son because he's already carrying a pig attitude. He's been living in the world for too long now. He thinks that everybody thinks like him now. Hallelujah. His attitude was so poor, his self-esteem was so low that he began to think like a pig. Stinking thinking. A lot of us walk around with sinking thinking so many times. Well, the father says, you are not a servant. You are a son and a heir to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Everything that you have, you have access to it. He owns it, you have access to it. When you ask for it, it gives it to you. Money comes running after you. Money should be looking for you. Money, you shouldn't go looking for money. You shouldn't be going and working hard and trying, sweating and not seeing your family and marriage breakup and high blood pressure and all, just because of money. Money should be looking for you. Money should be knocking on your door. Hallelujah. Come on, church. That's kingdom mentality. That's kingdom living. Hallelujah. So he said, I will go back and ask the Father to make me as a hired servant. Isn't that interesting? He left as a son, but he came back with a slave mentality. Some of us are sitting right here in this room today with a slave mentality. Yet, we are sons and daughters of God. We've come out of that Egypt. I talked about the wilderness place. The wilderness is a place where you get rid of all that stuff before you cross into the promised land. Because once you get into the promised land, you think differently from the wilderness. There's a God that looks after you, that provides for you. Hallelujah. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was what? Dead. He was alive, but he was dead. And he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. So they begin to celebrate. Hallelujah. Let me just talk about the ring for a minute. It's a very, very, very amazing principles that the Jews have. See, the Jews don't have any other culture but the Bible. There is no other culture. The Jews' culture is God. God chose these people to carry his presence everywhere they go. And they were the ones that's supposed to tell us. They're the ones that brought Christ through. Through the line of the people that God chose came Christ Jesus, who is our Savior right now. So their culture is always God. They have nothing else. And so a ring in a son's finger is very important to a Jew. And it started from Abraham's time. When you are a son and you have a ring, on that ring there's a signet or a mark of your heritage or your family. That ring becomes a credit card, because in the days where you will put that, you will put the ring into a wax, and when you go into a store, you will put it into a wax and place it on a piece of paper or whatever it is that's there, and they see the mark of your father. And so you can operate and buy things and move things around and have things because you have a ring of ownership. That you own something, that you belong to a family. Hallelujah. It represents authority. It carries the name of the family. And the very important thing is that it represents access. Everybody say access. From ownership to access. Stop thinking ownership. You are a person that live and move and work and do things in excess. Everything that you need is in God's hands, and he provides for you. It represents access. All the wealth of the family is accessible to the child as long as he got the ring on his finger. That's why the father said, bring the ring. Put that ring back on his finger. Let him have access to everything that he lost when he wanted to be mine, 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 mine. It came back to abundance. We are like that today, church. Hallelujah. So when the statement was made, it was very important that the son abandons the family. He abandoned the access. He abandoned the authority. He abandoned all the wealth. And then that one ring the father put back on his finger brought back all that authority, brought back all the access, brought back all that he needed to be a son again. Hallelujah. The father never called him a servant, called him a son. Church, this morning, each and every one of you sitting here have access to everything that God has. Everything. We must now change our mindset to think nothing that we have or wear or drive or live in belongs to us. We are stewards of it. That's why when you think like that, you become a blessing to others. Your house becomes a blessing to others. Your car becomes a blessing to others. Drive your new car. People bring them to church. Hallelujah. You become a blessing to them. We won't need buses to go and people up because people will be driving along and say, I'm going to go and pick up somebody to church this morning. Hallelujah. In my new car that God blessed me with. Hallelujah. Be a blessing to others with all the access that you have from God. He is the only one that provides for us, church. That's my message this morning to you. Because I know that we are going to be living in a world that's going to come against you and I. The economic system of this world will not help us. It's already proven to our brother Israel Folau. The banks even turned their backs on him. GoFundMe has canceled his campaign. Qantas is coming. This is corporate stuff that's coming against him. Can you see the persecution that's happening right now? It's not people going to come here and do physical harm to you. That's what they're doing right now. And that's how the enemy sneaks in to shut down the voice of the church. Once the voice of the church is shut down and gone quiet, then we're in trouble. Hallelujah. We must go back to the way of the kingdom of God. Think like kingdom people. You've heard here in this church so many times about walking in those principles, bringing those principles into play. Yes, you are saved. Yes, you're born again. Yes, you know that you're not going to end up in a place that you're not supposed to end up in. But that's not your destiny. You are still needed on this earth as long as you're breathing, as long as you got health in your body. The Holy Spirit needs you so that He can move around and do His work. He needs you. He needs the body. He needs you and I right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your wonderful blessing. God, we thank you that you are a God of everything. Jehovah Jireh, God that provides. You own the 1,000 cattle on the hill. Everything that you created. And you gave Adam rulership over the planet Earth. It wasn't ownership. Father, I thank you, God, that the world has transformed our lives and our minds. But today, I pray that your people, oh God, as they receive this word this morning, I pray that it will start to do something inside their spirit. Father, that their mindset will be transformed. We speak, oh God, transformation into the minds of your people today. Every man, woman, and children this morning, Father. Let us be transformed, Father, to think like kingdom people, to understand the economy of the kingdom, oh God, to understand that, God, you are the one that says, why do we worry about tomorrow? Look at the birds in the air. Hallelujah. That's really how we should be living, Father. I pray that each and every person here this morning, Father, as they receive this revelation and these principles in their heart and in the spirit, Father, let them be transformed so they can be a blessing, God, to others around them. Father, let us be a people of blessing. Let us be a people of giving. Let us be a people of not holding on to things and not claiming and owning things, oh God, but people of understanding that we have access to everything, oh God, that we can freely give and freely release things, Lord, amongst families and friends and churches and people that are in need, oh God. Father, I thank you. I pray for your word. Because your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is life. Your word is power, God. And I just pray over each and every person this morning. Let that word sit in their spirit today. Let it transform their hearts, oh God. Let them start to walk, oh God, in principles. Lord, we pray and we thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to speak to us, oh God. Continue to speak to us. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to give some time for the Holy Spirit to do His work. We're going to sing a song. The altar is open. If you have some needs, if you have some problems, if there's situations in your life that needs to be dealt with, come and see me. If not, praise God. Come and see me after the church. But let the Holy Spirit carry you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Give Him some time and some space to move inside your life. Make decisions based on the Word of God and based on the principles of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord.